At the height of this Christmas season, we're going to take a few minutes with our good friend Tom Flanagan as we look back through the year. Tom, as you know, longtime radio broadcaster, newscaster with WFSU. He will be with us for the entire show today, along with some special news and announcements. So stay with me.
Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny, brought to you by Widen Glass, Tallahassee's first name in glass for your home or office, and by Merry Maids. Call Merry Maids. Relax, and it's done.
In 1945, Jack Widen started a glass company in Tallahassee. Now, over 70 years and three generations later, it's still working every day, doing just as Jack wanted, giving his customers real solutions for replacing window glass, providing custom-cut mirrors, and supplying superior bath and shower enclosures. Local building contractors know Widen Glass takes care of Tallahassee business. They prefer Widen because of their precision and mastery of eye-catching storefront glass and countertop glass. It's a fact. When you choose Widen Glass, you're working with real glass people who will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. It's what Jack Widen wanted, and it's been the Widen way of doing business for over 70 years. Widen Glass, Tallahassee's first family in glass since 1945. Call Widen Glass today or visit them online, 850-222-5781 or widenglass.com.
Christmas, my friend. Glad you've made it part of your week to join me in this conversation with Tom Flanagan. It's going to be our opportunity to have him all to ourselves for the entire broadcast today. He'll be with us in both the first and second hour. Tom has a remarkable history in this community. The two of us are sort of parallel in that we both arrived in the late 70s. I think he was here maybe 6 months after I got here in 78, and have in many ways sort of followed each other's paths, both of us being broadcasters from those early days, radio broadcasting specifically, both having an interest in community affairs and activities and participating in all of that as much as we could, contributing where we can, and that goes on. And as you... if you're a fan of Tom's, and you really ought to be, I mean, why wouldn't you be? He has hosted some of the most famous and infamous characters in and around our community and across the country, for that matter. His work over there at WFSU is unparalleled, in my opinion. So he's a good person to talk to when you want to get a sense of his perspective, that is to say, when you want to get a sense of where the community has been, is now, and where we are going. I mean, Tom's not much of an editorialist. That's not his role. He basically reports the news, but he does a good job in bringing together people in his show Perspectives. He's done that for many years, who then are the newsmakers in many cases. So we have a kind of similar interest in that. And in his case, he's had the chance to put people in that studio of his who will tell us as listeners not just their particular interest in a given topic, but a lot of the connections, and this, you know, a lot of the reasons why this town works the way it does. You start connecting the dots, as we like to say, you start seeing where some of those connections are that oftentimes are out of view. It's, you know, the loyalties and the to certain causes and clans and personalities and tribes and such. So we're going to get into that with Tom to get a sense of why is it that this town just seems to be sort of stuck in many respects? There have been hopeful signs of moving us in a direction that is, I think, more inclusive, And part of that is just the force of nature, for the most part, just the fact that you can't bring another, you know, 20, 30, 50,000, 100,000 people into a region, and we've done so over the last 10 years, let's say, in rough terms. I mean, just look at the number of people that have joined this community coming from other parts of the world, certainly other metropolitan areas of the country, larger areas, whether it's Atlanta or Chicago, Seattle. They have made their way here, in many cases because there's opportunity for employment, yes, maybe that's the most often, education, yes, of course, but there's been a decided effort then to retain that creative class, it's been referred to. Richard Florida and his team many years ago had coined the term the creative class, those who are contributive in a way that is bringing new opportunities, bringing new ideas to bear. Well, that comes up against the old guard, the old way of thinking and the old way of doing business. So in 2021, as we did in 2020, some of that being uncovered, some in a very disheartening way because of the, you know, the legal ramifications, the criminal investigations that were carried on and the indictments that were then announced with people like Scott Maddox and JT Burnett and such. All of that that brought a kind of, I don't know, in a way, I was going to say a heartbreaking realization that, you know, it's not just a good old southern town. You know, the magnolias and the Spanish moss just don't seem to have the charm that they used to in the face of this kind of abuse. I mean, it's an abuse of power, the misuse of public funds and all that that goes into this kind of criminality. But more so, I think it represented for us a comeuppance, a kind of admission that there are conclaves of influence and there are those who are loyal to one another for certain personal financial gain or for some political advantage. You know, and Tom has been privy to all of that. And so who better to help us get a sense of that and then not just in a sort of disparaging way, but to get to the business of what we want. What is it that you and I really want for this community? What is it we want Tallahassee to best be known for? You know, well, going back 40 years ago when Tom and I got here, I mean, we were known for a football team. And I don't say that with any regret because I'm a Seminole. You know, I'm a big fan. And that whole Bobby Bowden era was stellar, wasn't it? Brought a lot of national and international fame to this community, not to mention the money that that represent and represented then, what it represents even now, the contributions of the growth to our local economy are magnanimous. It certainly moved us past this business of being a, you know, a government town, you know, where you have the ruling elite and all the rest of us who are working the fields out here doing the plowing and the planning and the harvesting. Yeah, that would be your state, county, and city workers that kind of run the thing, or at least are doing the heavy lifting. Yeah, I mean, none of those folks are making the six figures, are they? I don't think so. But in case of, you know, disappointing misuse of public trust, that's really the heartbreak. You know, you stole some money. I mean, that's wrong and that's injurious, yes. But I think even more damaging is just the sense of being betrayed. Really? Isn't that how it works? We do that in personal relationships. When somebody, you know, stabs you in the back, when somebody turns out to not be a friend, when they have certain personal ambition and loyalties to others that really don't take you into account. I mean, putting it simply, they just don't care what you think. So if you feel a little bit discouraged about all of that, stay tuned, because Tom and I are going to get this figured out. We're going to have a more positive outlook as we go forward into 2022. That's my resolution. I'm making that right now. We're going to look for the good, and we're going to find it. It's out there, and I think you'll find it right along with us. Stay with me.
Hi, I'm Josh, and this is an ad for Super Signs. We were going to do an ad that was funny or maybe really dramatic, you know, something clever, but that just didn't work. So I'm just going to tell you, Super Signs is great. I mean, they're really great. And it's not just me saying it. Lots of people posting and talking to their friends. Here's one. We are so happy with all our signs and banners by Super Signs. Highly recommend. Here's another. These guys are awesome. They run their business with great quality and service. Our lighted sign looks fantastic. I can't rave enough. Super Signs does the really big stuff, like outdoor lighted signs, vehicle wraps, wall murals, and all the banners, the yard signs, and indoor signs too. So for your business or your birthday party, Super Signs is your sign company. So that's it. That's our ad. Super Signs is great. I mean, really, really, really great. You should call them, 422-1883, or go to their website, yoursupersigns.com. How's that for clever?
Hi, I'm Melissa Bruner, and you're listening to Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
So as you know, we are contributing to our understanding of Christmas Connection with our annual campaign, Help Us Help Christmas Connection. We call it Help Christmas Connection because it is about us all standing up and saying, you know what, I can give of my money, my time. Maybe I can donate some toys or clothing. This year, they're asking that you check out the Amazon wish list that they have set up at their website. This is Christmas Connection. You go to thechristmasconnection.org for that. Coming down to the wire here on this Saturday, here we are a week away from the big day. So this has been the week that was. If we were in earnest about wanting to help Christmas Connection, well, the time was this last several days here. Their ambition was to have everything in by the 15th. That's always their hope. But, of course, there will be those even today who are going to be making donation, and I don't discourage that, because quite frankly, if you went online today, even going into Christmas week, go to their website, thechristmasconnection.org, donate some money. Why not? Because you know what? This is a work that continues throughout the year. How does that work? Well, there's something called Catholic Charities, Catholic Social Services. This is operated around the region by their central office in Pensacola. And it's been their business for, golly, for decades to work with families, professional social workers who are bringing aid and comfort and instruction and guidance and support to families in need, especially children in these families. So social workers who themselves are assigned given situations, and they're working with these families throughout the year. At Christmas time, they bring those who they find most in need to the attention of this special effort. We call it Christmas Connection. Our job is to make sure that those social workers and all the volunteers that make Christmas Connection possible have the things they need, whether it's the particular items that you've donated, if it is the money that you have contributed to their welfare, if it's the time that you have volunteered to help out. And we had some beautiful, beautiful posts coming by way of Facebook earlier last week from families. I don't want to embarrass anybody, so I'm not going to put anybody's name out there. But you can go look at it. It's all there. publicly speaking, this is a great conversation about how we care for one another. And we've got lots of ways we do that. Tom Flanagan is going to be with me through the rest of the show today, and we'll talk about all of these different places in which we are able to overcome the bad, the evil, the wrong with good. And that's, frankly, that is an age-old truth. Rather than trying to fight evil with evil, you know, the Bible says overcome evil with good. You know, any good, sensible marketer will tell you that. If you're in the PR business, you don't get anywhere by trying to denounce the evil. What you do is you build up, you promote the good. You find that which is worthy, that is inspiring, that is worth acknowledging, rewarding, commending. That's the key. That's what we got to do. You know, we're going to find out that there's always going to be people like Scott Maddox who are at the door. They're looking for a way to slide one under. That has been true from the beginning, my friends. Do we not know that? Go back and read your Bible. Yeah, so we get that. We get that evil exists in the world. But isn't it remarkable, as evil times have prevailed in days past? I mean, and you think about some of the more horrific examples of this in human history. Isn't it also worth noting that there were those who stepped in and said, no, we're going to stop this right now. Those who liberated prisoners of war and those who were held in concentration camps in Poland and other parts of Europe, I mean, you can decry the evil that was prevalent, and you can declare that how could God allow such a thing? Well, I would ask the same question in a different way. How is it that God inspired those who, whether they were with the Red Cross or the armed services of Allied forces, who decided they were going to go in at their own peril and save those who had been imprisoned, to fight a war that they didn't start, to try to liberate a people that had no reason to have been punished in that way, to be persecuted and oppressed and potentially annihilated. Yeah, but the good has said, we will step in, and we can do that here. We can make things better because we individually decide we deserve better. And we'll talk with Tom about this. Electing people who are worthy of our vote. It's not easy. It takes some work. We got to do better at vetting some of these folks. And we got to call out those that are allied strictly for their own gain, whether it's financial or political or both. And there's plenty of that out there, of course. Again, nothing new here. But we can be different. And as we choose to be different, we celebrate those things that bring us together rather than keeping us divided and separated. You've heard me say this before. I'll say it again. When was the last time you went to your neighbor's church, regardless of denomination or ethnicity or even the location in town? When was the last time you hung out with some of the folks that root for the other team? Right. So if you're a Rattler or a Seminole or an Eagle, whatever your colors, whatever your stripes may be, yeah. How about crossing over a bit? How about hanging out in another part of town? How about attending somebody else's fundraiser or festival? And there's plenty of those going on. Speaking of which, I should tell you, with Christmas Connection, you have an opportunity to affirm everything that we've just talked about. You have an opportunity to give unsolicited, unfettered, and unconditionally to an organization that doesn't consider at all ethnicity or race or religious affiliation. that has never been and will never be a part of what Catholic Charities is about, or Catholic Social Services, and certainly not Christmas Connection. This is for people. No matter where you come from, no matter where you've been, or where you may be going, no matter how you part your hair, Christmas Connection is us. It's you and I caring for those in our community who could use a little care right now. And it comes at a time of year when it's especially heartfelt. It's especially important because those little kids, those families in need, they're looking at you and saying, you mean to tell me Christmas has come to my house? You mean to tell me that my mom's going to have pots and pans to cook with for Christmas? Wow. You mean my sister's going to have some clothes that she could wear to school? Yeah, that's the message we're sending. That's what you can do this Christmas.
Every day, Sellers makes life a little better for homeowners, helping them find the best design ideas for their homes with the best quality tile, carpet, and hardwood flooring. Even mosaics and ceramic and vinyl solutions are right there at their fingertips. Professional designers and seasoned advisors are ready with expert guidance to be certain they find the best solutions for their home. And best of all, Sellers works hard to bring the lowest prices and the highest quality products all in one location. That saves homeowners time and money. Maybe it's time for you to find the Sellers advantage for your home or your office. See for yourself this week at Sellers' spacious showroom, conveniently located on Capitol Circle Northeast, just north of Mahan Drive. Or find them online at sellerstile.com. Style, quality, and design at Sellers in Tallahassee. 656-8453. I will try not to sing out of key.
Tom Flanagan has been with WFSU News since 2006, focusing on covering local personalities and issues and organizations. He began his broadcast career more than 30 years before that, and in his history he has covered news for several radio stations in Florida, Texas, and his home state of Maryland. Now, in between all of that, he spent a number of years in corporate communications for a few private firms, a time that he calls invaluable for giving him a greatly expanded media perspective. During the relatively rare times that he's not racing to cover various community events and activities, Tom enjoys reading and playing guitar. He is an able musician, I might add. He was a professional drummer in his previous life, and now is trying to expand his musical horizons. He is our guest today, and let us welcome this wonderful news journalist and a great guy, Tom Flanagan. How are you, Tom?
Brian, it is wonderful to be back with you one more time.
One more time we are, as the Earth has made its way around the sun, and we're back here at the end of 2021 with news of the day being replete with these reactivating and reactivated organizations and events and festivals and all kinds of stuff. Somebody must have paid the light bill because all the lights are starting to come back on one by one. From your perspective, and I want to jump into this right away, you sit in a very, I think, advantageous position for the sake of all of us in that your work takes you in all kinds of corners and places around town and around the region. I'm going to try to avoid the more cliche thoughts here as far as, virus fears and vaccines and shutdowns and all the rest. I mean, I don't know about you, but I feel like that's a record that has been long broken and is just skipping over and over. We're looking at now we move on, I guess. But from your standpoint, what has been most notable, you think, in this year?
I think the main thing, Brian, has been just the incredible persistence of the power of interconnectivity in this community. As I remarked to someone, this was an event that they had to scrub last year because of the pandemic, and they finally got back together again within the past year, couple months. And the relief and the excitement and enthusiasm and actual joy, I think, was palpable.
Wow.
Of people being back together again, saying, oh my God, we missed this so much. And that's something that I think is not just peculiar to Tallahassee. It's everywhere. But in this community, which really depends a lot on that kind of connection.
It does, doesn't it?
I think we were on the verge of a community-wide nervous breakdown because of the inability to interface with each other during the pandemic.
Yeah. And we rely so heavily on a lot of these activities that are not only celebratory, they are fundraisers in many cases. And I think of people like the Lemoyne organization, or even churches getting together for a raffle or for some kind of a fundraising event for their youth program. On and on it goes. Isn't it true? I think there's something like 650 nonprofit organizations in Tallahassee, and I don't think that includes all the church communities. So it has this sort of double effect. It's not just the lack of connection, as you point out. It's also the lack of revenue.
Well, that is true, and we have seen, of course, an infusion of cash from the federal government to local government and also individuals and businesses and all that kind of thing, which has helped to offset some of that. But I think you are right on the button, Brian, as much as we depend on the not-for-profit sector in this community to keep a lot of trains on the tracks. And we haven't had the ability to do that to the extent that traditionally we have.
In fact, you have organizations like Second Harvest and our beloved Christmas Connection. I mentioned Lemoyne's Chain of Parks Art Festival. And then I think of the Tallahassee Community Chorus. These are activities that in and of themselves are really unduplicated. You know, there's only one Lemoyne Center for the Arts. You know, there's only one Tallahassee Community Chorus, and if they're not performing, well, what are they going to do? And so their artistic director decided, and this was as of last year, that they would do some community helps sorts of things. Michael Hannawald is their new artistic director, and he got them together, and they went out and revitalized a cemetery that is properly maintained by these local churches over here on the east side of town. And it happened to be of historic value because this particular cemetery provided a resting place for slaves that were working those plantations in those, you know, 100 years ago or better. It was that kind of attitude, that spirit that pervaded. And this is, to me, what you're talking about. People in their tenacity saying, we're going to figure out something we can do.
Yeah, it is not necessarily the default position in this community that we see a need. Okay, let's go to the city or county commission and we're going to get some money and make it happen. Yeah, that still occurs, but we have an awful lot of people, as you described, that get together. We'll form a coalition. Here's another group that's doing kind of a similar thing. Let's bring them in. Just this past weekend, as we're recording this now, I took part in a little get-together out at Lake Ellen. This was a bunch of animal welfare organizations that years ago coalesced to do this little Santa Paws walk, they
I
call it.
I remember that, yes.
Yeah, and which is tons of fun. People can sign up to put their dogs in different kind of contests.
Our dog actually won an award.
Really? Which category?
He was the snowy whitest dog.
The snowy whitest dog, yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, we had a couple, most able to pull a sleigh or a 747. One of them, this Irish wolfhound, I swear was larger than any Great Dane I'd ever seen, and the friendliest, goofiest mutt. But anyway, but there was a need not only to raise money for animal rescue projects,
right,
but also to promote adoption and all these kinds of things. And
indeed,
what did they do?
Indeed.
They, oh, hey, let's put our differences aside. God, we'll all get together and we'll make it happen. And they have for years.
You know, oftentimes we think of these crises that come our way, whether it's a hurricane, catastrophic storm, in this case, if it's some infectious virus that is scaring all of us to death and bringing death to our doorstep in horrible conditions. When you think of those circumstances of that kind that are formidable to deal with, this counterpoint seems to emerge. Now, maybe it takes us a little bit. We have to kind of catch our breath. I think of Second Harvest. And in talking with them here a few months ago, and you probably had the same conversation, they talked about people who said, look, we were there in that situation when we had need, and you helped us. So virus or no virus, pandemic or no pandemic, we're here for you. And they were going about the business of sorting and packaging food for delivery. So there's that says, you know what? We're in this thing together.
Yeah, and that is also endemic to this community. There's an awful lot of that. Largesse when it comes to empathy and sympathy and connection with people less fortunate. Not totally across the board. We don't want to sugarcoat this too much. Mm-hmm. There are still an awful lot of unmet needs in this community. There are a lot of problems that still remain unaddressed or partially addressed. And we got to work on those too.
We're going to talk about that. We have Tom Flanagan with us here for the entire show today. His gracious willingness to be a part of Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. You stay with me.
Now we're really talking. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
We're back. We're talking with Tom Flanagan. He is the man when it comes to news and information. As the news, I guess now you're the news director, and pretty much I think they've just said, Tom, here are the keys. Whatever you can bring to us.
Actually, we have such a weird org chart out of WFSU Public Media, Brian. What they did, I at one time was news director, and I hired someone, this is back in 07, 10,000 years ago, when,
look at that,
you know, radio was powered by coal-fired transmitters. But I hired this incredible young lady, stole her essentially from the Tallahassee Democrat, Lynn Hatter.
I remember Lynn.
Yeah, Lynn has advanced to the position of news director, so it is her thankless task of the day-to-day organizational yin-yang of the whole situation. They let me hover like at 30,000 feet, and I get to do my community stuff, which I so dearly love.
And you are so valuable to all of us in that capacity, which, of course, is, for us, a wonderful opportunity then to tap on your shoulder to say, when you look through this last, and if you want to look into the last, you know, 20 months, I suppose, or 23 months, we've talked a little bit about the more obvious impact then of this last year, the last 18 months or so. What occurs to me too is the disparity within our community. And you mentioned this at the close of the last segment that, you know, we still got a lot of homework ahead of us. We've got a lot of this that we haven't yet been able to address effectively. What keeps us from doing that?
Well, we could always wax biblical on this, Brian. And both you and I, you know, have a strong faith background and all that. But as Jesus said, you know, the poor will always be with you. And he was certainly prescient in that regard. Our 32304 zip code in Tallahassee has been determined up to that admonition. That is the poorest as far as household income is concerned in the entire state of Florida. Now, does that mean that every single household there falls below the poverty level? No, and there are many students, and they don't have adequate incomes, obviously. But still, there is an awful lot to be done, not only there, but in the South City area. Mm-hmm. You mentioned Frenchtown at during another discussion, and that too. And the rural areas, look what happened during Hurricane Michael. Indeed. And its impact on the entire region.
Indeed.
Much of which has not been able to recover to this day. And so there's plenty of opportunities for us to say, oh my God, what else can we do? And more importantly, how do we make that happen?
You know, in the conversations we've had with people in those service positions, and they're in an administrative role that can make those decisions, whether they're public officials or working for an organization of some nature. And they look at it and realize that there's not a quick or a ready solution. So they are frustrated with trying to find that switch. How do I get that to move in the direction that I want to go? Second Harvest, I think, has contributed more sizably in that they're not just interested in the immediate meeting of needs, we'll say, but at the same time looking at some of those deeper issues and the long-term solutions that need to be implemented. I wonder, too, if it's that we kind of rest on our, I don't know, we sit back on our hands a little bit, in as much as we're not the wealthiest community in Florida at large anyway. And there is this pretty significant disparity between those who are pulling down six figures a year and the rest of us. And I wonder, too, if that contributes to a kind of isolationism. You know, the people, they live inside of their little world. And, you know, they know that there are issues and there are people over there, but it doesn't impact their daily lives.
Well, but, you know, you have isolationism, I think, across the entire income and socio-political spectrum. We all live in bubbles to a degree. Yeah. Now, some of us, you know, like to get outside the bubble and, you know, visit other people and see what's going on in places that may be unfamiliar to us with people that we don't otherwise know. Yeah. But there is a comfort zone that I think we all struggle to break out of, and we're not always successful in that.
And you know, that goes back to what you said earlier about our connectedness and not having those opportunities to bump shoulders with or even bump fists with people in various sectors of our community. So when it comes to a festival, to me, that's sort of the part of the cure here. I think if we can look at some of these activities that are available to the general public, to all of us, whether it's a springtime thing or a wintertime thing, you know, people get out and they kind of mingle a bit. But is there something else missing? Do we need something that is even more contributive to our sharing with each other?
Well, that's a good common ground place, because everyone can agree, regardless of where you're coming from on many other angles. Mm-hmm. You know, gee, wouldn't it be really good to get together and just celebrate something as a community?
Right.
A pretty successful inaugural example of that, I think, was the recent little community celebration they had out at Railroad Square. City and County helped out with that, but it also was, since Railroad Square is kind of right there on that border with South City, from a racial and I think an income and all other demographic angles, a lot of different people showed up for that. It was not the hoi polloi, and it was not just the folks who might, you know, go to the Frenchtown Heritage Fest. This was a good cross section. I thought, woo, this
healthy.
Is different.
Yeah, it's healthy. I think of interesting you say that railroad track divide in our town. In fact, it's not just a colloquialism. There is a south side of the tracks and the north side of the tracks. It, in fact, exists. And curiously enough, that whole South Monroe area down there, I have thought many times, I'm sure I'm not saying anything particularly exclusive, how cool it would be to really convert a lot of those standing buildings into the shops and the pubs and the coffee houses and, you know, the gathering places. But then again, the economics may betray that. I don't know if you've seen come across your desk initiatives that say, hey, why don't we do kind of what Austin did with their, was it called C Street or A Street? I forget what's
well, Sixth Street. That's, Sixth Street, that's where you've got all of the, yeah, the bistros right. and the clubs and everything.
Right.
Closer to home, though, there's an example of that, Brian. And that is called Little Five Points in Atlanta. That was formerly a crime infested lower income. No one went in that area. It was just, it was degenerate, it was horrible. You'd lose your car in 5 minutes, you know, that type of thing.
Wow.
And that has been transformed into this hip happening coffee shops, bistros, you know,
art
vinyl
galleries.
Record shops,
yeah,
all,
yeah.
just crazy stuff. And you have the same thing we saw in Railroad Square several weeks ago. That type of, you know, rich folks coming down there because it's cool.
So maybe it's a matter of taking that Railroad Square concept and even existence and simply letting that spread a little further south, maybe a little further north. Of course, you've got the university system standing there saying, now, wait a minute, boys and girls. You know, we got to have our piece of the action here. Folks, we're talking with Tom Flanagan. Hope you'll stay with me through the top of the hour. We've got more with this fine man. You're in tune with Tallahassee Talks. We'll be right back.
Witten Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. When you call Witten Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Witten's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Witten Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. Witten Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.
Hi, I'm Tom Flanagan. You're listening to Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Welcome back to the second hour of Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. You know that you can find us online at any time, TallahasseeTalks.com. Subscribe to the podcast. Make it convenient for you to listen at any time that you care to. It's always available there for your downloading pleasure. You can listen live from Moose Magnificat. If you go to MooseMagnificat.com, say that again, MooseMagnificat.com. Some people call it Moose Magnificence, but it's not. It's Moose Magnificat. You're going to have to figure that one out for yourself, folks. I mean, it's just the way it is, okay? But MooseMagnificat.com is the radio station online that plays all local musicians playing their original songs. It's 24/7. And this broadcast is part of the lineup along with Danny Bedrosian's show, Danny on Everything. By the way, since I mentioned Danny, let me stop right now and tell you that he is performing on New Year's Eve. How cool is this? I mean, he is a consummate artist. That's not even an exaggeration. It's just sort of trite to say that, but he's going to be bringing it in for 2022. He'll be at the Over Under Bar, which is in Midtown. Yeah, it used to be called The Loft, if you're familiar with that, right across there from Table 23, I believe is what it's called, the restaurant. Yeah, for some of us old timers, that was Chez Pierre's restaurant for a long time. Isn't that right? Yeah, that's right. Anyway, so it's right there in the heart of Midtown, Over Under Bar, New Year's Eve, starting at 9:30, featuring Danny Bedrosian and Something Fierce. Did I say that right? It's something fierce. Yeah, I have problems with that. That's weird. It's like a birth defect or something with me. Danny Bedrosian and Something Fierce live on New Year's Eve, starting at 9:30 at the Over Under Bar. He's going to be playing some of his funkadelic hits from, you know, P-Funk and all, because he's a keyboardist with, yeah, the one and the only. There you go. And with that, Parliament Funkadelic, as it's known, or P-Funk. So that's a cool thing, isn't it? So you're going to enjoy that on New Year's Eve with Danny Bedrosian. And other festivities going on around town. We might mention this. Soul Santa is on a mission to bring holiday cheer to Tallahassee children and will return to the Laverne, Payne, and Walker Ford Community Centers on the 18th, which is today, from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. And every child aged 10 and up to age 10 will receive a special gift. Very cool. This year's events will be drive-throughs, and reservations are required. So you got to pay attention here. Registration is available at talgov.com. They're also going to put up announcements on Facebook and Twitter. The Laverne Payne Community Center is located at 450 West 4th Avenue, and the Walker Ford Community Center, also participating in this, is at 2301 Pasco Street. So that is the Soul Santa events that are scheduled for today. Also, Dorothy Oven Park is in full glory, you know, with all the twinkly lights and beautiful holiday light displays going on. That runs 6 to 11 p.m. weekdays, 5:30 to 11 on the weekends. And again, is a drive-through kind of thing, but you can also walk around the grounds. There is some limited parking available. And they're going to continue, weather permitting, all the way through January 1st. And they encourage you to use caution since it is nighttime and there will be people walking, right? I should also remind you, too, of the opening of this beautiful tribute to the Cascades Park area and Smoky Hollow area. They have a beautiful display of lights, and there's all kinds of great things going on with that. If you stroll through the park, you'll be able to enjoy the beautiful sights and sounds of Tallahassee in that beautiful part of the city. Let's see here, too. You might want to consider as well the Leon County Downtown Heritage Trail. Now, this happened this last weekend, but the trail is a celebration of the civil rights movement, and it also is a tribute to the history of the black community, including the Walker Library and the Knott House, the John G. Riley House, the Center and Museum, Smoky Hollow, and Cascades Park, all of that part of this historic trail that the city and county have cooperated in bringing to us. Along the way, each stop highlights a portion of Tallahassee's history, providing you a brief overview of the significance of that particular part of the tour. So this is the Heritage Trail, Downtown Heritage Trail, part of the Tallahassee Heritage Trail Project. So that's courtesy of Leon County and the city of Tallahassee. Let me remind you, too, folks, that if you are interested in catching something of the show from days gone by, you can always visit us at our website. There is an archive section of the site, TallahasseeTalks.com, and then you slash archive, or you'll see the archive link there on the site. And you can then search for a given topic or a guest. It'll bring it up for you, and you can listen from the archives to any of our shows that we have been fortunate enough to bring you over the last decade. Yes, we are celebrating 10 years of broadcast history in our own making, and pleased to do so. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny every Saturday beginning at 9 o'clock, and we are simulcast earlier in the morning on 93.3 FM over there with Real Talk in Tallahassee. That show, or that particular broadcast of the show, starts at 7 a.m. on Saturdays. Folks, stay with me. I've got more with Tom Flanagan coming up right after this.
Witten Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. When you call Witten Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Witten's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Witten Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. Witten Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.
Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. May that joy fill your heart now and throughout the coming year. Brought to you by Dr. Scott Pliskin at Mahan Animal Clinic on Mahan Drive. Call 402-0557. Witten Glass on South Monroe since 1945. 850-222-5781. And by Sellers on Capitol Circle Northeast. Your first choice in quality, affordability, and customer satisfaction. Call 850-656-8453.
Hi, I'm Josh, and this is an ad for Super Signs. We were going to do an ad that was funny or maybe really dramatic. You know, something clever. But that just didn't work. So I'm just going to tell you, Super Signs is great. I mean, they're really great. And it's not just me saying it. Lots of people posting and talking to their friends. Here's one. We are so happy with all our signs and banners by Super Signs. Highly recommend. Here's another. These guys are awesome. They run their business with great quality and service. Our lighted sign looks fantastic. I can't rave enough. Super Signs does the really big stuff, like outdoor lighted signs, vehicle wraps, wall murals, and all the banners, the yard signs, and indoor signs too. So for your business or your birthday party, Super Signs is your sign company. So that's it. That's our ad. Super Signs is great. I mean, really, really, really great. You should call them, 422-1883, or go to their website, yoursupersigns.com. How's that for clever?
Good morning, friends. This is your friend, Dr. Benjamin Franklin. We're talking with Brian Cerny on Tallahassee Talks.
We are back with Tom Flanagan here in the second hour of Tallahassee Talks. Don't forget that you can find us online at tallahasseetalks.com for your convenience. We have all of the broadcasts, or I would say a good 90% of them, are located there at the website, so that all you have to do is you go in and search on a topic like Tom Flanagan, and by golly, there is the show with Tom. In fact, it'll bring up all of the shows that Tom has graced us with over the years. Once again, we have this man all to ourselves through the rest of the show today, trying to get a better handle, I think, from your perspective, Tom, on what's happened to us and where are we now and what does the future look like? You and I do tend to be optimistic, I think. Maybe people might even accuse us of being a bit Pollyannish about things. I do want to believe in the best and the brightest and the most hopeful outcome for us all. But I'm also aware of the fact that we talked about it a little bit, this disparity of understanding, the disparity of resource. You know, a hurricane hits, there are parts of our community that are really have very little access, let's say, to fresh food or to a generator. So they're just sitting there waiting. You know, they're not able to go down to the local hardware store and rent a generator or buy one. And they don't have fresh food in their neighborhoods. So we said this earlier, we still have work to do. And yet at the same time, those communities, I think of many of those people that I've been in touch with in some of these less fortunate neighborhoods, they seem to be some of the most hopeful of all. They're the ones that you rarely see a disparaging word spoken. They're the ones that are saying, oh man, we got this. And I guess there's a kind of congress there, a kind of community that maybe some of the rest of us are missing.
Well, and it might be expectancies from where we come from. All right? I'm thinking back to my original hometown back in Maryland, and there's a 10-mile separation between the county seat, which is the larger of the two communities, and the little town where I was born and raised. And the little town where I was born and raised, yes, has an advantage. It has a university, a small university. It's not a Florida State. It's not even a Florida A&M, but it's a little
college
mm-hmm. type town. Mm-hmm. It is doing gangbusters. It has revived its downtown. It is attracting young entrepreneurial types. Festivals and nonprofits are doing very, very well. And 10 miles away, despair and lethargy and depression and opioid addiction out the yin-yang. It is a totally different scenario. And I think a lot of it, again, has to do with what is the expectancy. And you mentioned just now some people who, even though they are in dire fiscal circumstances mm-hmm. and all, still have a positive outlook on life. We can make it through. We don't need a whole bunch of money mm-hmm. or other material things. Mm-hmm. With bailing wire and bubble gum, we can somehow get through and make this happen. And there are other folks who, with a vast amount of resources, still, oh my God, life is terrible. It's horrible. So a lot of it is attitudinal. Yeah, I'm sure. But the rest of it is, I think, also having people within the community, those little seeds of optimism who can kind of take the bull by the horns and say, okay, let's move this ball a little bit further down the field.
Right. And you were talking with me offline about Frenchtown community. And when you and I first got to Tallahassee some 40 years ago, Frenchtown, albeit was struck with all kinds of those maladies that a community can suffer, whether it was drug or crime related or both. But there was a sense of community. It's up to us, they would say of themselves, to make this community work. And they did. And the music and the festivals and the commerce, and it was lively. And it seems to me that, sadly enough, like Railroad Square, there's a diminishing of that sort of connectedness, and it's up to us to make this work. You agree with that?
And I think a lot of it may have to do, if I may be so bold, with Florida A&M University. That talk about adopting a project. You know, right in your own backyard, whether it's South City or Frenchtown, but the young, dynamic people who go to FAM, where you have a great background when it comes to small business. I'm thinking Keith Bowers and his institute.
Right, SBA.
And he's done some things with Jim Moran over at Florida State, but you bring all these resources to bear and you get the young people out into the community and say, hey, you know, you guys, you got a food desert. You need a grocery store, and not just a convenience store. We need something with, you know, fresh fruits and vegetables and all that kind of
indeed.
Thing. And help make that happen. And use what you got. You may not have a chainsaw, but even if you got a handsaw, you can make
Take
a start on this.
Take what you have and work with it and work with those people. And you know, Shelley Gomez and I have talked about this at length when we talk about some of these efforts that she's personally been involved in. And there is that the challenging of a given mindset that does seem to encourage lethargy. It seems to, or kind of, what would you call it, apathy. Well, this is just how things are, and why should we try to? But I think we don't help when we go back. We kind of fall back on our tokenism, and I think of something like Domi Station, you know, and they love to point at Domi and say, "Oh, look at this wonderful incubator. Entrepreneurialism is alive and well. Leon County, God bless you." Well, how long ago was Domi created, and what has happened since then? And without even looking at the particular track record for that particular hub, you know, how many working solutions have come out of there? Maybe several. I don't know too many. But where are the other Domi stations? That is to say, where are these other organizational, if they're not county-based or assisted at least, why is this like we've got our little trophy here and now we move on? And I think there's a kind of self-satisfaction about that. And I don't know if it comes by way of public officials deciding they're going to do just enough so they get reelected, or if there's somebody that says, I don't really have any constituents there, and so it's just not a big deal to me. Then you get a guy like Jeremy Matlow, who seems to just tick everybody off and decides, you know what, we're all one Tallahassee, and $22,000 for leather seats at a stadium? Why do we need to do that? Let's take that money and invest it in real solutions, like sidewalks, or like helping somebody create a grocery store chain that could serve the south side of Tallahassee. I mean, what's wrong with that idea?
Sure, because there are a lot of unmet needs. Yeah, that's interesting. We had Commissioner Matlow on a program that we did at WFSU recently. Mm-hmm. We also had Stanley Sims on. You talk about someone who can infuriate folks but is not shy about speaking truth to power.
Indeed.
That's the guy. And you get some of those people out there and start to form coalitions, because let's face it, this is a political town.
Indeed.
And that is the coin of the realm, and you've got to use that tool to make things happen as well.
That's the truth. Brother, we are in touch with what's going on in Tallahassee, courtesy of our good friend Tom Flanagan, and we are going to continue this conversation. You stay with me. You're in tune with Tallahassee Talks.
Witten Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. When you call Witten Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Witten's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Witten Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. Witten Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.
Bringing you whatever Tallahassee is talking about this week. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Welcome back, Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. On this opportunity to talk with Tom Flanagan at length about all things Tallahassee concerned, especially in this last, 20 months, or, well, you just want to say the last couple of years. Unprecedented in our lifetime. Now, you know, I'm a child of the 50s, and my parents were both, you know, Depression era and World War II era folks who taught me, hey, no matter what happens, you, as you said a bit ago, you take what you have in your hand and you work with it. And they were undaunted, but they were also very clear about how much they had to trust the community about them, and they were very invested in our little neighborhood up there on the north end of Seattle in those days, around Lake Washington, Lake Forest Park, the community up there. A lot of university professors. So I'm still in a, I grew up in a college-oriented community, and here I am. But in their lifetime, I mean, my mother was, she always called herself dirt poor, and her dad was a beet farmer, sugar beet farmer in central Utah. My dad was an immigrant, came from Sweden as an 8-year-old, and then grew up in Chicago, of all times, in the 30s. And ended up in Seattle, Bremerton, actually, during World War II. And he said of America often that she was his mother, that he had this sense of having been rescued. He joined the National Guard when he was 17 and worked harder than... I've never known anybody who has worked as hard as my dad did. I'm sure there were many. We call that the greatest generation, but indeed... The idea that somehow you should just kind of settle, that was unthinkable. No, you take what you have in your hand, and by golly, you work it. I wonder, too, if in this town we're sort of missing a little bit of that. The we'll call it the agrarian side of us, those growers and those in rural settings, I think they enjoy that more than some of us that are a little bit more affluent, we'll say. I think that there's a kind of, hey, resourcefulness, and we were speaking to this in these communities where there is no choice here. You've got to make this work somehow.
Yeah, but we make a fetish out of self-reliance nowadays. You know, people need to take personal responsibility, and they need to do this, and rugged individualism and all that, which is a myth. It is a total myth. What you just described about growing up in Seattle, and I think most people of a certain demographic can recall that in their hometowns, too.
Right.
There was this incredible interconnectedness and interreliance.
Right.
And families didn't split up and move halfway across the country to the degree that they do today.
That's true.
You would have multi-generational folks, perhaps in your same house.
Right.
Those networks, I think, were a lot more robust and cohesive than what we have now. Mm-hmm. And so you had that. An old railroad worker, gets his leg chopped off when he falls off of a boxcar and gets run over by a freight car. There was no workers' comp or those sorts
right,
of programs.
Right.
The family would have to essentially take him in and, provide him with another livelihood, perhaps.
Yeah.
Old Joe down the street, he needs a night watchman. You don't have to have both legs for that. You can sit there and, make sure no one gets in the front door. We had more of that than we do now. And maybe we know that that can work. Maybe we have to rediscover some of that. None of this is reinventing the wheel, by the way.
No, it is not. And you make a good point about this mythical sense of rugged individualism. There is a collectivity that has been at our backside, we'd say, has been our backbone in our 200-plus years, I think, where we really decided if it's going to happen, we're going to make it happen. And if Joe is injured on the job, well, everybody's going to kind of throw down here. We're going to figure out a way to solve that. If in fact, in your hometown, you mentioned this earlier, think back about some of the folks that you went through high school with. Do you find yourself connecting with them through social media or in any other way these days? Because I still have friends from high school that I grew up with in Lake Forest Park, and they share this same sort of sense of community. They haven't lost that somehow.
Yeah, and even the intervening years, we still have now reconnected to these people in many instances. And I sure have, Brian. Yeah, exactly the same as you. A gal who was dating my best friend in high school, she just died 3 days ago. But her best friend immediately called me. We've been Facebook buddies, probably over the past 10 years or so when we reconnected.
Yeah.
So that little community, but to the more immediate need of what we have here geographically.
Right.
I don't think we can leverage those relationships quite as easily as we can the folks who are more proximity to the problem. And here, I think, will social media break down these barriers? There was a great hope of that. I remember when Zuckerberg started Facebook and was blue skying what this would do, transforming society, bringing us all together. The algorithms have divided us so profoundly. It's amazing.
Sadly enough.
Yeah. So we got to go back to first principles, I think, and old school. We got to go face to face. That's the only way we're going to make this work.
Well, it's true, of course, at a cultural level. And at a national level, it is also true here locally. And you said this a bit earlier, we are a political town. Remember Skip Foster when he first got here, and I had him on the show. He hadn't been in that director's chair for more than maybe 3 or 4 or 5 months. And I said, Skip, what's your initial impression of Tallahassee? He said, I've never been in a place. This guy was accomplished, right? He'd been around. He said, I've never lived anywhere that everything has some political tone to it. And he said, maybe it's because we're the state capital, but he said, you can't find a topic at hand without people squaring off. And he said, what's even more remarkable, many times, and I think this is true, people share the same goals ultimately, but they disagree as to how to get there. So they want the same things, But they fight over the, we'll call it the tactics, I suppose, or the strategies involved. Maybe that's what happens here too, because I think of just the general sorts of things that we have talked about, whether it's social services or festivals or some kind of community collection forums. You know, the commissioners are disappointed more often that people don't show up for commission meetings. And they've gone out of their way, more so than this last couple of years, I think, by making it available online. But yet it remains that attendance, whether in person or online, is hardly representative of the, let's call it, almost 300,000 people in Tallahassee. And that's, and then you, or maybe that's more like Leon County, but then you get to the metro, the five counties. These are people that are not connecting with one another, I don't think.
Yes, but they're still connecting politically, and here, I think, is the rub. Mm. Our city and county commission folks, and we know them all just on a real intimate basis, Brian. We bump into them all the time. Yeah. We've had them on our radio shows, all that thing. Yep. They still are very much into governance. And if you're going to do governance well, I'm sorry, it's boring. Mm. It is a lot of nuts and bolts. It is a lot of detail stuff. And most of it is not very exciting.
Mm-hmm.
But politics as a blood sport, particularly now as a national blood sport, has become very entertaining. Every day is like the SEC championship.
Sure enough.
And it's about who wins and who loses. That's part of politics, but it is not the ultimate part, which is putting people in place to get things done that the people need.
Right.
That's governance, and it's a totally different
animal. Totally different situation. Folks, stay with me. We've got Tom Flanagan with us here through the rest of the show today. I'm glad you're a part of it. You're in tune with Tallahassee Talks.
Hi, I'm Jerry.
And I'm Pete.
And we're with the Jerry Thigpen Trio, and you're listening to Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
We're back, and we're talking with Tom Flanagan, and you are having a great time. I know you are, because you're learning so much. Curiously enough, Tom, you and I spend a lot of our time out of the studio, out there talking with everyday folks. When the whole business of corruption came up, City Hall, Scott Maddox, J.T. Burnett, in those circles where you frequent, what was the sentiment? Were people like shocked that such a thing would happen? Were people sort of nonchalant about, well, you know, that's just business and that's politics and such? You mentioned this difference between governance and politics. What was the beat, I guess, on that whole thing? What was the downbeat?
Oh, well, this gets back into the segmentation of our community, I think, that we already kind of referenced earlier in the program, Brian, that if you were part of the everything is fine, don't worry about it, the community is rolling on as God intended and all is right in the world. Mm. The elites, if you want to call them that, usually folks with a little higher income and certainly a bit more perhaps clout in the community than many people. It was, we're not even going to go there. We're not going to talk about that. There are other things that we have to focus on in this community. Well, I think peeling back the layer of the onion, as the federal court did, as the grand jury returned these various, or handed up these indictments against Mr. Maddox and JT, it showed just, again, I think, how interconnected in a not good way much of the community was. And the fact that when you see certain parcels of land that heretofore were pretty unspoiled starting to sprout luxury student apartments or whatever other development put there, unbidden seemingly, that there may be something else going on behind the scenes.
Carl and
that
I were
is
talking.
Not on the up and up.
So when you see that kind of thing, if the everyday person out there just doing their job see something like that happen? I mean, I ask myself, do they just sort of throw up their hands and say, oh, well, there's nothing I can do about it, which then further intensifies this level of disconnection and apathy. So there's a further distancing, which is exactly opposite of what you and I are hoping for here. We want people to be more engaged in the conversations and in the decision making. Here comes Commissioner Matlow, and he starts to bring fair criticism, and he gets everybody from Marianne Lindley to the chamber gunning for him, not to mention the district attorney or the state attorney. I mean, what happened?
Well, you have different viewpoints, and it is really easy to say, we both do talk shows. We have people from all over the place who come in and express different points of view and all, and we ask them pointed questions, and they express what they think and how they feel about things. So we're kind of used to that. We don't throw rocks at them because personally we may not agree with what they're saying. We want to find out more about that to see what is behind it and how it could potentially benefit or hurt, you know, other people in the community. But if you are out to help your own tribe, here's that word again,
loyalties too,
you know, whether it's the business community or someone else, hey, everything we're doing helps us. Why can't other people see that that's a good thing? Well, because other people aren't you, and your interests may not coincide. In fact, they may be diametrically opposed. So y'all need to sit down and maybe talk about how this intersection might work, because there may not be an intersection at all.
Well, the blueprint money particularly became a sort of third rail, didn't it? I mean, where that came to bear over things like $22 million plus that's going to be allocated now. I mean, it's a done deal. It's going to go into a stadium. And now there's some backpedaling. Well, you know, but there's some bathrooms and some guardrails too that are going to be a part of that. But the guy who's living down there in that 04 zip code, and his older son is already in prison. His daughter doesn't come home until late at night, and we don't know where she's been. His wife is working two jobs. Yeah. He's got his weekend job, and he works for county or city during the week. And you want me to talk to him about $22 million going to pay for some handrails and some bathrooms in a stadium or whatever else, or leather seats? That sort of disheartening message to me cannot be tolerated. We just can't continue to live that way. And justice being done is a great thing. So apparently Mr. Maddox and Mr. Burnett, they're going to have their comeuppance, and have. But at the same time, how much more of that seedbed of shenanigans, we'll say, of misdeeds remains, where the culture, and this is what I think Matlow was pointing to. You agree with that?
Well, and Commissioner Matlow is a business guy. He runs some very successful pizza restaurants. But as has been intimated by certain political scientists of my acquaintance, this mantra of we need to run government more like a business is bogus. Because if you do run government like a business, you're probably going to jail. Mm. Okay? There are two totally different kinds of endeavor. And you point out that the average person sees these kinds of things and becomes even less connected with the body politic than they should be. Because we do. These people don't fall from the sky. They are voted into office. Yeah. And you get what you vote for, or not.
Yeah. I remember that full page letter to Scott Maddox when he had decided to run for the school district. He was going to be the commissioner of Leon County Schools.
Superintendent,
yes, Leon County Schools.
Until he wasn't.
And then the seven, notoriously, I think there were seven, that signed their name to this full-page public letter that was published in the newspaper. Dear Mr. Maddox, the business community needs you. All right, the business community parenthetically, we need you to stay where you are, because you're our go-to when we need help on a given project, whether it's a piece of property we want to buy or a contract we're trying to secure. I'm kind of waxed a little cynical here, but I think at the same time, my hope, and I remain hopeful, is that we can counter that kind of behavior, and we can in ourselves counter that thinking to say, wait a minute, we're still able, and you said, we elect these people, we can still seek out those who want to do the right thing for all of us.
Yeah, and we as the electorate perhaps should be a little bit less inclined to believe every 30-second TV ad or pop-up ad on social media that we see relative to political aspirations. Mm.
Said the advertising guys, we're gonna try to remain neutral in that conversation, aren't we, Tom? Folks, this is what we love about Tom Flanagan, his willingness to kind of share it from his point of view and from the perspective that he enjoys having served this community for so many years and working as diligently as he has with WFSU and WFSU News particularly. Tom, I will say this now because I'll forget to tell you later. Merry Christmas. Thanks for being a part of this show. It has been wonderful to have you back in studio.
And Merry Christmas back to you and yours, Brian Cerny. And I really appreciate the opportunity to be back on Tallahassee Talks again. And props to you for all you do to keep the community connected with itself.
We're trying. We're going to keep our candles lit here, and we will see you on the other side. Folks, this is what we do every week just for you. We're the production of Spatterwork Media and Entertainment, coming to you from the studios of Moose Magnificat Radio, bringing all local musicians playing their original songs all the time. That is the sound of Tallahassee on Moose Magnificat. Find them online at moosemagnificat.com. Carl Cerny is our executive producer. I'll be looking for you again next week. So come on, Tallahassee, come talk to me.